Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. I am so glad that you decided to tune in today, wherever you are listening. We are grateful that you are here. And today we have Dr. Jill Hubbard and JJ West, who are going to answer your calls today. We're going to answer 1-800-229-3000, and we can't wait to hear from you. But right now we're going to hear from JJ. JJ, I know that you just came back from our Everyman's Battle intensive that was in Dallas. And I know I heard some great reports from how great it went, and we helped so many men, but I would love to know what's on your mind today.
Well, hey, Becky, you know, it was a great weekend, and we got to see God working in men's lives. We got to see men set free, and it was amazing and marvelous, as it always is. What's been on my mind the last couple of days has been the concept of peace, and I want to ask each of you the question: would you say that your life is characterized by peace? Or maybe a better way to ask it is, would the people around you, the people who spend time with you, would they say that your life is characterized by peace?
Jill, you go first.
JJ, what if the people around you are the reason why you don't have peace? So I'm not sure how they would answer that.
Well, so here's what's been rattling around in my brain, because I like to think of myself as a peaceful person, and I try to practice peace. But when I started to really think about this and dig into it and get convicted by Scripture, right, because there's so many passages in Scripture, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Jesus says in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Over and over, Isaiah, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Over and over and over, there's this idea, this concept or theme of peace through the Scriptures, and we're called to be people of peace. And when I look at my life, even though I'd like to say, yes, I'm a peaceful person and I try to practice peace, what I notice is that the peace that I experience is very situational. Mm-hmm. There are specific times when I am not a person of peace. If I'm driving, I'm not a person of peace. If I am watching my beloved Seminoles play and they're not playing well, I'm not a person of peace. When I get that zinger, that nasty gram, intrusion, all of a sudden I'm not a person of peace. And Jesus says that he is going to give us not just peace as a concept. He says, I will give you my peace. And Jesus' peace transcended all of the circumstances that he was in. Mm-hmm. He could rest in the boat in the middle of a storm because he was at peace. And so I'm just wrestling with and being convicted of the fact that my peace is situational, and it doesn't look like Jesus' peace, which transcends all situations.
It's so powerful. And I think just that awareness, JJ, of whether it's in the car, because I, too, am a recovering car unpeaceful driver. I don't even know if that's a word, but you know, it's right. Really that awareness that is the promise that the Word gives us, that Jesus gives us, that we can have peace that passes understanding, that when we get into situations that would normally be, you know, just very disturbing and frustrating, that we can actually have the peace of Christ within us. We're going to take calls for the next hour or so, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I love that JJ started us off with that thought of peace. Jill, what would you add to that conversation?
Well, I was thinking about what you were saying, and I love all the verses, JJ, that you gave us, and just how much the Lord calls us to turn to Him, right? And that when we are with the Lord, when we are praying, we are present. We are more present, right? Mm-hmm. And so that brings us a sense of peace. I think what's really hard for people, when you are in a more dysregulated place with your nervous system, it's hard to even pray, and you can't be present, right? So doing things to kind of calm yourself down and trying to draw near to the Lord and just literally sometimes stopping, right? So that you can take in that peace that He offers. So mm-hmm. in the freneticness of life, we can kind of beat ourselves up, like, why can't I, do X, Y, and Z? Or why aren't I having more faith? Well, you've kind of got to get your whole body and system back to an even keel so that, oh, okay, now my brain can attune to that.
Well, I was also thinking, too, Jill, about the effects of trauma.
Yes.
You know, we talk about trauma on the show all the time, and mm-hmm. that can be very disturbing. It can disturb the peace, right?
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to be inspecting our lives. What is causing us to be disturbed, whether it is anxiety, whether it is worry, whatever way that mm-hmm. our peace is disrupted? But, I think that that's part of it as well, especially as believers, because I think many times people think, I just need to pray for more peace. And we know that there's a little bit more to it than that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes it's bringing another person in, right? So someone else to kind of be, God with flesh on, right? To ask to sit, because we can use another person to help regulate us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's we're all about.
So even like JJ, you sharing the verses, you talking about peace, that then helps us focus on that, right? Which has a calming effect. It's wonderful.
Well, so yeah. I think we talk about this, and we want to know, how to get to the core of it. Jill, what would be one or two steps that you would encourage somebody who's maybe experiencing a lack of peace in their life? What would be a first step for them?
Well, I think to be able to get whatever is stirring inside of you kind of outside of you, right? Things are magnified when they're inside of us, and we tend to amp up and get anxious. And so, like I mentioned, having another person maybe to tell what's going on to, right? We all need a person we can vent to. And as we kind of clear out all of the mind clutter, then we can maybe take a pause. And then it's like, okay, what do I want to focus on instead of all of that that's going on inside of me? And to be able to, sometimes when we say it out loud, it's kind of like setting it aside, right? And then to add the good things in when we can focus on that.
Yes. JJ, so, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I, first of all, just agree. And then I would add that it's so important for us to be really connected to ourselves, so that we're aware of what is dysregulated within us. Mm-hmm. 'Cause a lot of the time we might feel dysregulated but not know why. So we need to be paying attention to what's going on within us. And we need to focus on being connected to the God who gives us His peace, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got to actively take time to rest in Him. Mm-hmm. To listen to Him, to let His words, kind of pour over me. So I meditate, I marinate in His words that offer me peace and remind me that it's not all up to me mm-hmm. and I don't have to figure it all out. I'm not the one who's in charge of the world, right? I need to meditate on those things. And when I do, that does help me experience more peace. Just like Jill was saying, mm-hmm. just even listening to the words, it's like, oh, yes, God, I can rely on you and your peace. I don't have to I don't have to manage the world around me.
Right. And I know for me, when I am kind of spinning and having a hard time focusing, listening to something. So I will put on a Bible app and, you know, have it listen to God's word, you know, auditorily, because that helps me. Because in those moments, I can't sit there and read. So if I listen to it, it has a calming effect, right? Or I've shared numerous times before, in the middle of the night, if I wake up and my brain is spinning on things, I need something else to focus on. I put on a sermon, or I put on, you know, something that gears me towards what I want, right? Which is a connection with God and His peace. And so it helps me go right back to sleep.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing how we don't perceive what is taking our peace. And so I love what you just said, though, Jill, is that we try to read something, but our brain is going.
Yeah.
It's like you might be reading it, but well, you know, it's always something that will tempt to rob our peace, but we know that God's got a plan, and He uses people, and He uses psychology and counseling and walking and reading and music and all kinds of ways. But if you're struggling with any situation that is robbing your peace, you know, you can call us. We're going to, you know, we're going to take a step back for a minute, and we're going to go to a call with John and Steve, and it features Eileen. Let's hear what they had to say about their question.
Let's go to Eileen from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hello, Eileen. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. You guys are great. I just want to thank you for being able to listen to a really great program that has some very good answers to people that you guys are non-judgmental. So many times I find myself laughing, and you know, it's not necessarily a funny situation, but you're not belittling to anybody, and that's really great to
thank you.
To know that you have a program that you can come to.
Well, you are very, very encouraging, but you sound like you're really hurting today. What's going on?
Well, I was married for 20 years and got divorced, and during the last 5 years of that marriage, it involved abuse to myself and my kids, especially to my oldest son, who now is an addict, and he does opiates and heroin, and he's been in rehab for at least 5 or 6 times now, and just nothing seems to ever click with him. I found myself being a person who enabled him, of course, and allowed him, I won't say I allowed him to steal thousands of dollars, but he used my credit card. You know, I think, do I press charges against him? And I feel so helpless and hopeless, and I fight depression as well. So I guess my question is where do you start to, I guess, for myself to get well? And, I mean, I'm exhausted to help him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you say that he's stolen from you. When is the last time he stole something from you?
Recently, when I opened my credit card statement, it was just about, I would say, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And to my surprise, because he had just come back from rehab, and I thought he, you know, was on the right track. He's facing some serious charges too as well. So I mean, I even feel guilty because I actually hope that he would go to jail and that he would be safe.
Well, I wouldn't feel guilty over that, because a lot of parents try to keep their kids out of jail. I bet you have tried to keep him out of jail before.
In the beginning I did, but this is, I guess, why I feel guilty, because recently I've almost tried to hope and pray, and I've actually have prayed, and I've prayed for God's will, but nothing ever seemed to happen. His hearings usually get postponed, and I know that the only safe place, I believe, is either rehab or jail for him.
Eileen, you need to disengage.
I really do.
Yeah, you do. That's why you're drained. You're way too enmeshed in this man, your son, who's a man in his life.
Yeah.
You need to pull away. You need to unplug from him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean that you don't stop loving him, or being a bridge or a conduit, but right now, his resistance to light and his resistance to change is sucking you dry.
It really is.
And so that guarantees he'll never get better. because the principle is that the person with the problem must feel the burden of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the burden and you don't have the problem. Your son does not feel like he's got a problem and he doesn't carry the burden. So that needs to be transferred, and that's what your disengagement will do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then to encourage yourself, I think it's important to face some really crummy reality, and that is a lot of the stuff that you did, it looked like you were doing it for him, but you were really actually doing it for yourself.
We all do that.
Everybody does it. But then when you can admit that that's what's going on, it makes it easier for you not to do the things that, well, you thought you were doing for him, but you're actually just trying to preserve your status or not be hurt more or just all sorts of things that you could have been preventing or trying to prevent. And so you were doing some stuff that was enabling him, and now you're not willing to do that anymore.
Right.
If someone steals from you, press charges, especially a boy who is your son who hasn't responded very well to anything.
Eileen, I have teenage boys,
mm-hmm.
and I told them both that.
Really?
Yeah. I said, you know, I love you. If you ever break the law and steal or whatever, and you call me from the police station saying, Dad, I hate this, I will say to you, I love you, and you're going to spend some time in there, and I'll come visit you. But that's what the Bible teaches, that we do with people we love. Now, I think it sounds to me like you agree with where we're going with this, but my question is not a question of agreeing. My question with you is a question of follow through and strength. Are you able to do what we're saying?
I am.
Okay.
The problem that I have is that it seems that the law doesn't help me out in this case, because I've actually called his probation officer.
Oh, because they've been postponing hearings and that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I want you to disengage from the law fixing him.
Yeah, that's right.
If he ends up stealing from other people, then they need to press charges. But you need to change your credit card situation, tell your son he's not safe, he's not welcome until he decides to get help and, you know, be clean and sober and not steal, and that you will talk on the phone or whatever to him, but you really have to distance from him. And then you're not in the process of, the law's got to help me. The law is not about helping you. The law is about him working the system until the law catches him, and it generally does. So disengage from, I can't be happy till the law catches him.
The law has caught him. That's the problem, but it just seems that he always, somehow, his hearing gets postponed.
Yeah.
Or.
But Eileen, again, you're not going to be happy until the right setting, the right rehab / jail is for him. And you've got to decide, I've got other things going on in my life, gifts and talents and relationships and healing to do, while he's figuring out how much is rehab and how much is jail. So it's kind of like one of those things where we hope things will happen. We're not going to give up joy and happiness waiting for somebody to get it. And then in some time, matter of time, guys like him do tend to get it.
All right. I'm glad that you called us.
You believe it's not wrong for me to press charges?
No,
then?
I don't
Absolutely
think so.
Not.
And I think if Dave Stoop were here, he would tell you of the story of the policeman coming over and him reporting his stuff stolen. And when when Dave says it was my son that did it, the policeman closes his little booklet and quits taking notes because he thinks, well, this, you know. And Dave says, no, I'm pressing charges against my son. And now Dave's son is a gift to him.
Yep.
And it changed everything.
Hebrews chapter 12 says that all discipline seems painful, but for those who are trained by it, brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Amen.
And sometimes the parent of an adult child has to be the distributor of that discipline system.
All right. Tough news, but good news.
It's good news.
It can change.
Isn't that exactly what we're talking about? Is sometimes you have to disturb the peace to experience peace. And just like in that caller, we all have people in our lives, like you were talking about, Jill,
right.
that cause us to not have peace. But there is a way out, and we have to be willing to take those risks and to make a difference. And boy, we've got a lot of testimonies that talk about that other side, where the peace is achieved. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Arterburn with a New Life Moment. Recently, my friend was taking a walk with her two children. They were at a beautiful park when they came across a sad sight, a small duckling just lying there, lifeless, by the edge of the pond. In a sad little voice, my friend's two-year-old daughter said, "Mommy, this ducky is dead. He needs medicine." "Well, medicine doesn't help when you're dead," said Mom. "There's only one person who could help that little duck now, Jesus." Her little girl asked, "Does Jesus have medicine?" To this, her five-year-old big brother answered, "Yes, his words are medicine." What a profound statement. With just a word from his mouth, Jesus brings healing. Are you taking advantage of the healing power of God's Word? If you're struggling with doubt, fear, loneliness, or anything else, I encourage you to seek the medicinal power of God's Word. Visit newlife.com for some good places to start. I'm Steve Arterburn, and thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
I always love to hear those New Life Moments and, you know, Steve's mm-hmm. wisdom. And just that perspective of, you know, what are we expecting? And in this situation, you know, it is powerful to get into God's Word, and there is a lot of medicinal qualities to it. It's like what we've been talking about. I just am never shocked at how he can spin a story. It mm-hmm. just is always amazing.
Yes.
Well, we're going to try and not be shocked, but we're going to take a call, and we're going to talk with Roger, who's calling us from Iron Mountain, Michigan, and listens on the podcast. You can listen on the podcast wherever you download those. We are there for you. Hi, Roger. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Okay. I was widowed about 19 months ago. My wife had a degenerative lung condition called pulmonary fibrosis, and then we both got COVID, and the Lord took her home in about 4 days' time.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The way the analogy I use is this, that for 33 years that we were married, that we put together this giant jigsaw puzzle that was our life together. And when the Lord took her home, it was like somebody took that puzzle and just... Mm. shattered it into the million pieces or whatever, and then they swept up a bunch of those pieces and took them and said, "No, okay, put the rest of that back together." And I can't seem to put anything back together. Nothing means anything anymore. I tried dating, and I just seem to destroy everything I touch with that. I don't know where to go. I've been attending a grief share group, and I can't say as I'm seeing real direction with that. I just don't know. Nothing means anything anymore except for my grandkids. If it wasn't for them, I don't know if I'd even be here anymore. But because of them, I struggle to stay here.
Gosh, Roger, we hear your heartbreak, and it is overwhelming when you are going through a season of grief that's so profound. It makes sense to us as we hear it, but it's hard to carry that burden. Jill, how can we start with Roger?
Well, Roger, I hear your heart. And yes, ours breaks for you because, you know, there's no immediate remedy for such a great loss. And it sounds like you had a really good relationship with your wife. And
for the last 2 years, I basically was her caregiver.
Oh.
I mean, I did... pretty much everything, and I'm not looking for a pat on the back.
No.
I did what my marriage vow said I could do.
Yeah, you did what you needed to do for her, and you really honored her right up until the end. And while we celebrate where she is now, you're left, like you said, with those pieces. So I hear you trying to do some of the right things. Grief share is definitely a good step. Is it a cure-all? No. Dating, okay, trying to connect with people might be a little soon, but the idea of connecting with people, I think, is important. And life, how you know it, is not the same. And for it to get to a better place, one, you're never going to stop missing her, but it can get to a place where it doesn't hurt so bad and where you can actually take in joy again. And so this is a new chapter of your life, and it's only going to be in looking back that you go, oh, okay, I have made progress. So adding as many things into your life that help contain you and keep you connected. Really glad you have your grandkids. And so, you know, staying here for them, yes. Because the legacy that you give to them, right, is so much greater than any sense of happiness that you have, right? Mm-hmm. Being a constant person in their lives and reminding them how much their grandmother loved them, right? And yep. you carry her and you carry the memory of her that you can share with them. So if you've done Grief Share once, do it again. Right?
Well, I'm in the process for the first time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Connect with other people that, one, have also had loss, but also connect with your friends. Push yourself. You have to push yourself every day to keep moving and to find some form of connection so that you don't just slip into depression and withdrawal. It's so hard.
Yeah.
So leave your house at least once a day.
Right. Roger, hold on.
Small
you can
steps.
Hear the music. You can hear the music, but we want you to hold on because we'll come back and we'll hear from JJ. And, you know, grief is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you're doing something wrong. It's just that to the depth of your love for your wife, that's where your feelings are of loss. That's where mm-hmm. you're experiencing that. And I love that you have the perspective of your grandkids, and that is something that's powerful. Because you don't want your wife's loss then to be your loss, and then the kids don't have either of you. We'll talk more after this break.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were in the middle of a conversation with Roger, who lost his wife a little over a year and a half ago, and just the heartbreak that comes from losing a loved one is so powerful. And, you know, Roger, we're here for you. We want to help you through this. JJ, how would you direct Roger in this healing time?
Yeah, Roger, first off, I just want to say thank you for calling and sharing a little bit of your story with us. And certainly, as has already been said, our hearts break for you and the pain that you're going through. I would recommend a couple of things. Number one is that you continue to tell her story. Continue to talk about her. Continue to share your favorite memories, the silly things, the mind maddening things about your relationship. Continue to tell your story with good, safe people in your life. But what I mean by that are the people who are willing to make the space for you to do just that. The people who aren't trying to rush you through the grieving process. The people who aren't trying to, you know, tell you, well, you should just be over it by now. But the people who are willing to come alongside you, listen well, and to offer comfort. Two more things. One is for you to recognize that the depth of your pain that you're feeling is an indicator of the beauty of your love together. And that every time you feel that pain, it hopefully can be a reminder of this wonderful gift that this woman was to you. How you guys got to spend 33 years married together, perhaps even more before that. And so just kind of celebrating that. And then to recognize as well, and I use this analogy a lot, so I've probably said it on the radio before, but oftentimes what we need to do with grief is to learn to welcome grief. When grief shows up, that we would treat grief the way most other cultures, not in the U.S., but in other cultures, if an unexpected visitor showed up at the door. In our culture, we duck behind the couch and turn the lights off and hope they go away. But in other cultures, they would say, oh, I didn't know you were coming today. Please come in, have a seat, let me make you some tea, and let's sit and talk. And that's kind of the way I want you to approach this, that when your grief shows up, even in moments when you didn't expect, that you welcome grief in and that you sit with grief. And when we do that, the more we do that, grief's response is to, after a little while, say, hey, this was lovely. Thank you for welcoming me in. I'm going to go now. But it's when we try and keep grief outside, when we try to keep grief outside the door and don't let grief in, that grief just keeps knocking, just keeps pounding. And that's what makes it difficult to move on with our lives, because we haven't actually let grief come in and sit with us. And that's just an important part of the healing process. So thank you for calling today. Man, I'm in awe of the pain that you're in, because I think about my own parents who were married for about 37 years when my dad died, and my mom was his caregiver for the, you know, last several years of his life, and just the how significant of a loss that is. But Roger, we're certainly encouraged by your call and praying for you.
Can I?
Yeah, you know,
I have something.
Go ahead, Roger.
Margie, you had a unique way of reading me like a book. She could always know when I was upset about something. Mm. And more often than not, it was about financial issues. Not that we were ever broke, but we were always sometimes scraping the edge pretty hard.
Uh-huh.
And she'd look at me and she'd say, in her Stearns voice, she'd say, Roger, so tell me, when has God not provided for us?
Mm.
Wow.
Yes.
And you talk about recenter you. In one sense. And she was a simple woman. She wasn't super brilliant, but she was so smart.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And see,
she
even
knew
that. And
you
know,
knew the Lord,
Roger,
so well.
Her name was Margie. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So even that, right? Like, even though she died almost, well, what was it, a year and a half, a little over a year and a half
July,
ago.
July 22.
She's still able to offer you that guidance and that solace by you reflecting on your stories with her, right? That she would read you those books and say, Roger, when has God ever
this was
not showed up
she,
for
her?
Yeah, she read you.
Yeah.
She knew you.
Yeah, exactly. So beautiful. Mm. I love that.
And so wonderful,
Roger,
to be so known by someone, Roger. I love that.
Yeah,
thank you for sharing.
So, Jill, I also want you to speak to the part of that maybe needing a little bit more support. Like, it could be, you know, to avoid depression. We don't want to get into a pit that it's... So if you could speak to that for just a bit.
Right, and that's some of what I was sharing before. But, Roger, even you reaching out today to us is a positive step. And I hope that you do feel comforted by the words that we're sharing. And so that's, I know you said it's very difficult to reach out. And so that is the task. I love what JJ shared. And I think it's spot on about handling grief, letting the waves of it just wash over you, letting you be exactly where you're at. And then, okay, picking yourself up. And it's like, okay, what's next now? And making sure you have some form of human connection every single day. Sometimes it's just leaving the house and going to the market and talking to the checker.
4 miles from the nearest town.
Okay, so it's a little more difficult for you then, isn't
it? My nearest neighbor is over a mile away.
Okay. Well, it may be for you getting outside and taking a walk or sitting in the fresh air and then making contact by phone with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then planning for those outings. You need things to look forward to, Like, I'm going to see the grandkids in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And plan for that. Or maybe you're going to take a trip. I mean, there are things you can do to not travel very far. See something new. Explore. Right? Reach out. Even though you live remotely, I'm assuming you have some people that are friends around?
There's an excellent group at church.
Okay. So church.
Through church and others that I can call and they would show up. I know they would.
Okay. Well, and so you keep showing up at church, regardless of how you feel. You just keep showing up.
I have.
Good. Good. Because that's going to be a lifeline for you.
I think also the reason why I mentioned...
So many things
there's a
Margie passed that I wish she could have seen.
Right. That is a part of that whole journey for sure, Roger.
And there's there's so many things now that she wishes you could see, Roger.
Right, right.
But you will.
That's beautiful. Well, I hope that that's encouraging to you, Roger. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Workbook on Grief. I just want to recommend that if you are struggling with depression, because grief gets confused with depression a lot of times, and grief can start as a normal response to a loss, and then because we become depleted, we need support because we become depressed. And so it could be that you connect with a counselor and we can get you connected with one. Even though you're way away from a lot of people, we've got telehealth available, as well as life recovery groups that you can do on Zoom as well. And so we'll try to get you connected in that way as well. And we'll all be praying for you, Roger, and pray to hear a great report as you get through this grief, because we know that it is possible. I was just thinking, JJ, with the men that you just helped at the Everyman's Battle, a lot of them are dealing with a different kind of grief, but it's also a part of their own healing process. You know, we've got an Everyman's Battle online intensive coming up in April. What would you say to somebody who may be struggling with the challenges that they've had with their sexual integrity and the grief and just the disappointment in their own journey?
I would say don't try to figure it all out on your own. Reach out for help. There's lots of resources available coming to either in person Everyman's Battle intensive or doing the intensive online can connect you with some of the resources that are designed to help you heal from the grief, help you understand the pain that you've encountered but also caused, and then work toward making amends, making repairs.
We would love for you to join JJ and the rest of the team online. It'll include the breakout sessions as well, but it could be the best day that you spend if you want to change your life and make it better. We are there for you. Call us and we'll help you get connected. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, we are always wanting to help people. We are helping people every day, whether they call the program or whether we hear from them and our ministry center in Dallas. They're looking for answers to the struggles of life. And, you know, if you aren't able to call in with a question, whether you're listening at a different time or maybe you just don't have the time to call in at that time, you can leave your question at 888-NEW-LIFE, 888-639-5433. That's a new option that we have for you, but we really want to help as many people as possible. And you can let us know what your question is, and if you want, you can leave your information, and we'll let you know when it's going to be on the air. We really want to help people connect, and we know that there are a lot of you that are listening in different ways, and so we just wanted to offer that as an option. And we want you to call us. One of the things that we do hear on the program many times is the struggles in families Sometimes it's when there has been a loss of a loved one, like in the previous call, Roger was talking about that. But, you know, sometimes there are families that get into tussles about, or worse, about financial distribution in the family, or who gets what and who said that that was theirs and all that kind of thing. You know, we have an incredible, fabulous coworker, Robin Black, who is an estate planning specialist. And we have begun a new program here at New Life because we have a lot of people who really want to invest in the next generation. Robin, thanks for joining us. But, you know, tell us a little bit about this new program that we are launching here at New Life.
Oh, thank you, Becky. Well, we have partnered with Barnabas Foundation, and they are a Christian organization that's been around since 1976, and they help Christian ministries like New Life provide planned giving support. And it's a wonderful organization that will meet with our supporters who are interested in creating an estate plan or perhaps revising an estate plan that needs some reviewing, and they will help you prepare a blueprint for an estate plan that honors God and that also provides for your needs and for your family's needs.
Amazing, because a lot of times people don't even think about, you know, the afterlife. We think about heaven and we look forward to that. But you know, financial problems really affect so many families. And the people who are towards the end of their lives are a little overwhelmed with, what am I supposed to do? Or maybe they're putting it off. And I love how the Barnabas group has just such great insight and is so helpful. But, you know, I want you to talk a little bit about Legacy Circle, which I know that that's a big part of that project.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, we are launching the New Life Legacy Circle in the very near future, and we're going to invite our supporters who want to become a part of that, who have included New Life in their estate plan. And it'll just be a special group in our way to recognize and thank them. And it's a way for our supporters to continue to transform lives after they've gone. And so it's a wonderful way to just keep that giving going after you've gone. And Barnabas Foundation will help you with your estate plan in ways that maybe you haven't thought of. And there's all sorts of different ways you can give. We all know there's wills and trusts, but there's other mechanisms as well where you can actually receive income while you're still here on earth. And then when you pass away, then the remainder goes to the ministry of your choice. So there's just different options that Barnabas Foundation can make you aware of. And they will meet with you personally and sit down, talk about your family and your assets and what your goals are for your estate plan. And they'll come up with a blueprint that you can then take to an attorney in your state to prepare the documents. And if you don't have an attorney that you work with, they can recommend a Christian attorney in your area.
You know, Robin, I know that we've had a lot of people who have been part of our ministry family for years. They have given their gifts to the ministry to help people find a changed life. And I know that many of them have designated that New Life would be in their estate already. And so we're so grateful for people who are thinking beyond their lives, you know, to help other people. You know, if somebody wants to have more information about this, they can call you at, what's your best number for them to call you?
My direct number is 949-544-7977, and I can put them in touch with Barnabas Foundation.
Well, and your email?
Go ahead. It's Robin, R-O-B-I-N-B at newlife.com.
There you go. Okay, Jill?
Well, I just want to jump in and say I love this idea that there are so many different ways. And often we think, okay, we're just going to leave it to our kids. But really, research has shown, first of all, don't tell your kids you're going to leave it to them, right? And second of all, leaving everything to kids may feel like it helps them in one way, but I think leaving them a legacy of there's a greater good out there, right?
Right.
And really our lives are about giving back, ultimately, in the end. And so I think sometimes that's a better example for kids instead of giving them every dollar.
Right. And, you know, it's a way to just preserve what's been passionate, you know, what you've been passionate about during your lifetime. And it's, you know, it's a good lesson for your children, too.
Yes.
And, you know, for some families, maybe that's what they want to do. They want to just leave it to their family. Maybe there's great need there. But some of us have children who don't need any more money, and it may create more problems for them.
Right,
so
right.
Think, you know, think outside of the box. And but, you know, it's a good idea once you've gotten your estate plan together to have a family meeting, because sometimes children have expectations. And when you pass away and those expectations aren't met, it can create havoc in the family. And I've seen that happen where the family kind of implodes because nobody knew what was going on and they're very disappointed. You know, there's the military strategy of shock and awe. You don't want that with your estate plan. You don't want a lot of shock after you're gone, because it really can just tear up a family. And, you know, you want to preserve your family and create harmony.
Yeah, you know, it's actually it's a kindness you offer to your family when you do proper estate planning, because when all of that stuff is taken care of, then it frees up the survivors to do the work of grieving that we just talked about on the last call.
Yep, so true.
When I'm having to figure out where is this account and what do they want done with this amount of money, and then the inevitable infighting that might happen in the family, all of that distracts and doesn't allow the person to grieve. And that's the most important thing after you've lost a loved one. And so it's a kindness to offer to your family after you're gone that frees them up to just focus on the most important things.
That's a great point.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about legacy, a lot of times people are thinking in the past, but it's really a forward thinking. It's really telling your story. And so when you make these kind of plans, you are telling the story of generosity, and God loves a cheerful giver, right? We want to be part of that that whole thing. Thank you, Robin, so much. Thank
you,
Dr. Jill, and thank you, JJ, and our listeners and our callers. We are here to help you. Give us a call, and we want to get you on your next step. 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.